Greetings and welcome to today's Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Podcasts, I begin immediately by letting you know, letting the audience know, podcasts are archived always on thispresenttruth.com. On the site, there are two sections, the Olive Tree Program section and the This Present Truth section. So you have either of the programs to listen to. Today is the 14th of June, 2026, Sunday. In my last program, I addressed the matter of the pastors of the United States of America and really the hijacking of the vision that can only come through God's prophets and the apostles of the land. Yes, America will have a few apostles. America will have a numerous group of prophets. Very shortly, also, the programs, I have a Rumble site we have been working on for quite a while. It is a different format, video. I won't do video. I will do only audio. But it's a completely different new technology. We've been working on it. We've been doing what is necessary to eventually have a Rumble site. On the Rumble site, we will have Present Truth programs, Olive Tree programs, but always you'll be able to come to the website, thispresenttruth.com. My mailing address to contact me is Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I do a block of Present Truth programs, then I'll jump, do a block of Olive Tree programs. I'm going to set up a way in which I'll be able to do two or three Present Truth, then maybe two or three Olive Tree, and not have such a big space. The last Olive Tree program was the 29th of May, which was about 15 days ago. I don't want to have that big of a lag, but this is the best way for me to do the programs. I do want to keep up with both sections. In the last program, again, going back to what began in the late 60s, early 70s, mid-70s especially, what happened to the Christian community in America was very evil. It was the beginning of apostasy. Part of apostasy is ministers, pastors, chaplains, focusing on numbers, bringing in large congregations, having 5, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 member churches, having to do 2, 3 programs on a Sunday. This is apostasy. This is what Paul the Apostle warned this church and the churches presently, the lampstands presently, apostasy would occur in all of the 7 lampstands, Catholicism, the Lutheran churches, Greek churches, evangelical, every brand of or flavor of evangelical Christianity, whether it be Pentecostal, charismatic, even I have to include the the Messianic movement, fundamental Christianity. The one least affected, I would have to say, honestly, would be, though still affected, but the least affected would be Messianic Christianity. It is still the little brother, you might say, as far as its influence on this society. But the evil of these ministries that are well known, whether it be Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Swaggart, Oklahoma, or the Kansas City Prophets, the IHOP ministry, Bill Johnson out of Redding, California, guilty, all of them. To some degree, Chuck Smith and Greg Laurie, all the big names. The big ministries, what they did is they had large membership. But what they didn't do and what they didn't focus on, a focus that the apostles, they focused on specifics, the foundational principles of the Christian faith. Many of the big ministries, their focus was on programs. Programs to keep people in attendance, to have the children, nursery, young people, Bible studies, youth programs, yoga programs for the singles. These are good to a degree. But when the focus shifts to these different parts of the ministries, the churches, and not on the foundational principles of a believer, that is where the apostasy begins. And now, starting in the mid, roughly 70s to the present, now these ministries, they have, you might say, matured to a degree. And what is happening? Like, I'm trying to give an example. We see the fruit of what happened with Jim and Tammy Baker. You see the tree, you see the fruit. You see what happened to Paul and Jan Crouch. These ministries die with the individuals that begin these ministries. I'll give you a ministry that was basically very sound. That ministry was Lester Summerall. There are others that were what I consider to be very good ministries, doing the Lord's work, and if the growth came, it came. The focus wasn't on the growth. The focus was on outreach, not the outreach to the world for the sake of donations or membership or big pageantry, but specifically for the growth of the believer in the field of deliverance. One of the best, Malcolm Smith. This was a ministry. The focus was to set the believers that had demonic, you might say, that were demonically influenced through trauma in early life, which can bring in demon activity. And let's face it, there are many Christian people who have psychological problems. Not all psychological problems are just because of a mental issue. Christ presented and made it clear that some mental issues are demonic, totally demonic, like the legion who was present in graveyards and running around naked. This was a mental problem. It was a spiritual problem that affected him mentally. Christ cast out the spirits. Then you had a young boy who was tormented, throwing himself into the fire. Christ delivered him. That was demonic, but it affected him mentally. Malcolm Smith. And with this apostasy of many of the well-known, like Joel Osteen, the Kansas City prophets, their focus was on signs and wonders and miracles, prophecy. And look what has happened. All of them, all the original Kansas City prophets, Mike Bickle, look at this individual. He's now banned from any type of ministry. He did not think integrity was important. You had Paul Kane. Paul Kane was, some felt he might have tendencies toward the other sex. You had John Paul Jackson. I think Bob Jones. Where are they now? They've been exposed. The ministries that focus on the growth of the Christian, not the gifts, the giftings which equate to power, but the gifting, but the growth, which is basically the principles of the faith, beginning with the belief, having the faith to believe that God raised from the dead, and that faith equates the issues into the issue of that faith is salvation, being born again. Truly Christ in you and you in Christ. That is the basis of the foundational principles of the Christian faith, which comes through faith. It's through your faith believing that Christ was raised from the dead that equates to righteousness in God's eyes. And then you are born again. Then you have the matter, which is very important for the freedom that you need from your sins, baptism in water, your sins buried in the grave as a type of Christ being buried and then raised from the dead to newness of life. Baptism, you cannot equate baptism to salvation as far as eternal salvation. No, the two are completely different experiences. But many equate baptism to being born again. And that was never made clear. I watched the Jesus Movement movie with Chuck Smith and Greg Laurie that was void of the real foundational experiences that a believer must have. Number one, being born again. The baptism is for the washing away of the sins so that Satan no longer has a grip on the believer. Then you have the matter of consecration. We are basically to give our lives, all that we are, our breath, to the Lord for His purpose, for His plan, for His kingdom, consecration. In a type, we put ourselves on the altar. We put ourselves in the hand. Christ is the altar. We put ourselves in His hands, believing that He knows what is best for our future. we consecrate to Him, no matter what. He, whatever He decides to do in our lives, it's acceptable to us because we're consecrated to Him. We're His servants. I'll give you some verses, a set of verses. Simply, this is in Luke chapter 17, verse 7 through 10. Suppose one of you, this is Christ speaking to the disciples, suppose one of you has a servant who comes from plowing the field or tending the sheep. Would you take his coat, set the table, and say to the servant, sit down and eat? Wouldn't you be more likely to say to the servant, prepare dinner, change your clothes, and wait the table for me until I finished my coffee, then go to the kitchen and have your supper? Then you eat after you have served your master. Does a servant get special thanks for doing what's expected of him? It is a shame to you when you've done everything expected of you. Be matter of fact and say, the work is done, and we are told to do what we did. We are told to do what we did. When you give yourself to the Lord and you consecrate, God will. He has a plan for everyone, male, female, young, old, regardless of where you sit intellectually or financially. When you give your life to Christ, you have become a servant. And you are doing what is required of you by God Himself. But in everything that you do, He will live in you. He will be in you no matter where you go or where He sends you, and you will be in Him. Even if King David said, even if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. Christ is building a kingdom. He has been for 2,000 years. It has been hidden. It is, in a sense, open, but hard to understand. It's still hard for the Christian people to understand the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The day that I was baptized, I did consecrate my life to the Lord. I did not know what my future would be. I wasn't married. I was 24 years old. I didn't know what. All I knew was God, the Christ was so real, and so he had totally captured. All my attention is on Him. He was so real. And I said, Lord, I've had this up to this point. My life has been mine. But from this point forward, I give the rest of my life to You. I don't know how long it would be. I don't know when I would die. I don't plan anything as far as ministry. I had no plans. All I knew is that I committed my life, my days, my strength, everything that I had to His plan. It has been more than rewarding. And I can say that once you commit, you become a servant. But I have many friends that have been in the military. Once you're in the military, it's a different world. Some have been in for the 3 years, others for five, others 10, some made it 20. But when you're in the military, you are protected. I have one individual that I know. He can get on a plane anywhere, fly to any military base in the U.S., take a vacation. He gets to fly standby. So if he wants to go to Taiwan, he just finds a flight. He goes down, checks in with an Air Force base near him, gets a seat for he and his wife, and they fly to Taiwan. He stays on the base, pays minimum, gets to eat on the base, and try and go out into the society, and then come back at night, sleep securely in the base. This is, in a principle, exactly what happens to God's children. When you are in His hand, you are in Him. He is in you. This is consecration. It's important now because things are changing in the world. If you're not in Christ, you have no guarantees of anything. If you are unconsecrated, then you're going to want Christ to wait on you. And you're going to come in from the field and tell Him, just wait, I'm going to eat, and then I'll come and serve you. You're going to tell the very God of the universe, wait till I eat, wait till I get cleaned up and prepare my dinner, I'll eat, then I'll come and feed you. This is role reversal. This is apostasy. This is what happened starting in 1975, in the mid-70s. This is what happened when the men that were pastors of the land, who have no vision other than their own little assemblies, their own work, it's apostasy. There was King David and Solomon. King David had a vision. His vision was to build a temple that God could be displayed and worshiped in. He spent 2/3 of all that he ever received. King David took 2/3 of every, let's say he had $100 million. He took 66 2/3 of that wealth to build a temple for God's kingdom. Solomon did just the reversal. He took 2/3 of all that he owned and built his own palace, and 1/3 went to Christ, or to Yahweh. David, when he got caught in sins, with the help of exposing sins through Nathan the prophet, he repented. He would get a venereal disease, and he was sick to the point of not only pain, but it could cost him his life. And what does he do? He prays to be healed. Solomon, he kept his life in his care, in his hand, not committed, not consecrated to God. And what does he do at the end of his life? He's worshiping the gods of the women that he sleeps with. These pastors have destroyed most of them, not all, but these men have destroyed the most important, how do I phrase it? God's church is who he died for. And these men, many of them are guilty. They are guilty. I will state they are guilty, because they built their little empires on the vision, the limited vision that they had, on that limited, not only limited vision, but in a selfish vision. They were faithful to doing what they understood to do, but the main function of men that are in ministry is the growth of God's children. Not the numbers, not the finances, the growth of the family, the maturity of the children, the protection of the children coming into Christ, giving them a place to grow, taking the young men, teaching them how to, who the enemy is, what the enemy is all about, the plans of the enemy, and how to stand spiritually against the devices of that enemy. Then eventually maturity, having the experience as you are older to understand, to remember how you were protected when you were young. You were placed in an environment that you were protected. You're placed in an environment where good pastors are always watching for the individuals that bring in sex sins, male or female, that bring in contamination into the body, that bring in rebellion, that bring sin, that refuse to mature and allow God to break their natural self. This is another one of the deep things of the Christian walk, is denying the self. To deny the self, the selfish self. Many Christians that come in to the body of Christ are narcissistic. They are sociopaths. They are evil to the core. They are controlling. To be able to stay under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit exposes who they are and breaks their evil, exposes the evil, and they, by keeping their bodies under subjection and their soul life continuing to destroy through the power of the Holy Spirit, denying the soul life, they become valuable. Paul was very, very brilliant. He had a very strong will, and he was using it in opposition against what was important to Christ, those who were important to Christ. So eventually the Lord had to reveal himself to Paul, make it very clear to Paul that he had just met the very God of the Christian people, of the Jewish people that he was persecuting. And God, you might say, not only visited him, but he, I guess you would say, had to impress upon Paul that Paul didn't have really any say over even his own eyesight, because he went blind and then had to have a brother, was sent to a home to have one of the Christian people pray over him to receive his sight back again. Paul had quite the experience, and he knew who he was. He knew the individual that he had just met, that he had met God himself. The men of this land have done a great, I'll say the evangelical churches. I was Catholic, called out of Catholicism to the evangelical church. There are things within the Catholic Church that are still great, great experiences of God. Same with all the other six churches, lampstands. But I focus on evangelical Christianity. I spend my time with evangelicals going back to, well, so these men, they brought in apostasy through church growth. That's apostasy. Christ said that he would add, in the book of Acts, Christ added daily to the church those that should be saved. And these churches, these assemblies, these they bring in people that are not even of the faith. They open the doors, and every contamination comes through the doors. Witchcraft, Gnostic teaching, people that believe in other gods. You have people in the occult or that are cult members. Remember one thing about the cults, they love miracles. They love to see the power of God displayed. And when you have true healings, true miracles in an assembly taking place, which does happen, you'll have people in the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormon Church, Buddhists. They want to come and see power displayed because they come in, people in the occult and people in the cult assemblies, especially the occult, devil worshipers. They want to come in and they want to know, how can I receive that power? How can I receive that? I want to perform miracles. There's a technique. What are the techniques? In the true miracles that God allows his children to oversee, it's not that they have the power. They have no authority. It's in the Lord. And the power comes through Christ. And many in the assemblies, they know the principle of using the name of the Lord to perform miracles, to do signs and wonders, but they don't care about Christ himself. They care about what he is empowering them to do. So there'll come a time when he will tell them, you can leave. I have a place for you. It's called outer darkness. It's not eternal. It's for 1,000 years. There are going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to weep and wail. There's going to be torment because you're not in the wedding feast. You're not in the kingdom of heaven. You're not in the millennial kingdom, ruling and reigning with Christ. You're outside watching. But this type of what I'm presenting to you is where in this mid-70s, the departure from sound experiences that are in the Bible, consecration, then there is a matter of faithfulness, being faithful to the Lord. There's a matter of adoration, to truly worship him in a proper way, like in proper worship on Sundays or Saturdays, whenever there is corporate worship. It's not about who can beat the drums the loudest, who can play the guitar, who has the prettiest voice, who can look good on the stage week after week. That's not adoration. That is, in many cases, unacceptable soulish worship, fleshly worship on a stage in front of God's children. And that kind of music is entertaining and gets people stirred up in the soul, but there's no reverence in it most of the time. It doesn't lead people into the Holy Spirit. It just keeps them in the soul, locked in emotionally. But there's no true adoration to the Lord. You know, I see many of these festivals on Sundays where you see everybody raising their hands to the Lord. And well, I say this, that a lot of times these that are raising their hand or arms, they're not consecrated. In other words, they want to raise their hand to the Lord, but their hands are full of sin during the week. Their hands are doing evil things during the week. There's immorality in their hearts, and their hands are stained with sin. They're unrighteous. They're unholy. They're there for show. Women with their fingernails manicured, with their jewelry. It is a, like it says in the Psalms, surely every man walks in a vain show. People like to be seen in public. This is why TikTok and YouTube and all these social medias are such a hit, because everybody is there to express who they are in their fallen state, in their fallen nature. And the ones that are the most, to me, the most evil are the Christian people who appear to be holy, appear to be godly, and they don't know the basics of the faith. They don't know that you must be holy, that you must be righteous, that you as a child of God, it's expected that their nature, what they are by nature, hearts that are black, evil, rather than having the Lord renew their mind or to transform them into being transformed into the what is it of Christ, being transformed into who He is. Not arrogant, not haughty, not proud, but humble, meek, genuinely humble, genuinely meek, and genuinely seeking to serve the Lord. And the hard thing about, or one of the difficult things about consecration is we want what we want. Many want to be famous. Many want to be well known. They want to display who they are. And we are trained from the time we're little to be special. To be special. To be someone that's in the video. To be someone that's on the audio. To be someone that's recognized. And it starts at a young age, when you're in elementary school, when you're in kindergarten. And then everybody aspires, many aspire to be on the screen, to be in Hollywood. That may not be what God has called you to do. And this is the other thing. With consecration, you don't know where God is going to take you. But for His kingdom and for your growth, He will decide what is best. I'll give you an example. I never even considered ever being in ministry. Never. Furthest thing from my mind. I was 4 years in a sound fellowship. Sound. The basics of the faith. We were hammered with day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. What is the Christian walk? A walk that is holy. The concept is this. Lord, my will is to do Your will. Christian people can't state that. They can state it, but they don't mean it. Lord, it is my will to do Your will. Your will be done. This is how the Lord told us to pray. That the kingdom come, Thy will be done. the Christian people are ungrateful. And the reason I say that is because they're unhappy where they are in their, I'll use the Catholic term, their station of life. They're not content with where they are, with the husband they may have, with the wife they may have, with the children they may have, with the job they may have. They're not content. They're ungrateful. In this, the country where they live, around with the family that they are a part of, they're ungrateful. But in every place where God has sovereignly placed us, I will give you some verses. It's deep. I hope you can accept it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season. How many seasons have you listening to this program had in your life? You're in before, prior to being educated, it's a season. From birth to maybe four or five years of age. It's a season. Then you'll have a season in elementary school, kindergarten to sixth grade. It used to be after sixth grade, that was a season, the elementary. Then you had the middle school. I was 2 years in middle school, seventh and eighth grade. That's a season. And there's a purpose for every season. God has a reason for, I'm using this as an example. Your seasons will be different. Then we have 4 years of high school. That was a season. To everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. Then the seasons are so that you can be educated, that you can mature, understand life, understand a social construct, to be developed, to develop as a person with your personality, who you are, who you're going to be. It's a season where you get to know who you are. Then there's a time to every purpose under heaven for those that become believers and not. Once you meet Christ, this is a time of purpose. The season to get you to that point of purpose is ended. Now there is a purpose. There is your purpose or God's purpose. You have your purpose and you bring God into your purpose. This is Evangelical Christianity 1976 to 19 to 2026. You bring God into your season, into your purpose. This is what the pastors of the land have done. And one thing that the pastors of the land have done is they keep, and maybe God is sovereign, they have kept people that are supposedly prophetic out of the assemblies. Some of the people that probably should never have been allowed into the positions that they were in would be the Kansas City prophets, and many of these others who are self-proclaimed prophets that took place here. Another example, Southern Colorado, 1992 to about 2000. A big prophetic move in Southern Colorado and in Colorado Springs. Where is it today? It must not have been of God. But in that group, there are individuals who have true prophetic gifting. One thing with the true prophets of God, the true prophets do not seek to establish themselves. Those who are seeking to establish themselves are the ones you need to be wary of. God, at one day, he sends, was it Elijah the Tishbite, out of nowhere to visit Ahab. Well, that means that, you know, Elijah really just miraculously appeared. No. Elijah had been living in that area until the time that he was called to go visit Ahab, stop the rain. So he was very aware of who he was. Then one day, the Lord takes him to Cherith, a river in a cave in the wilderness, hides him, keeps him there. He's not allowed to leave until the water dries up. The ravens bring him food, meat and bread. The type is, with the prophets, even the children of the world that are unclean, God will use the world to assist his prophets. God will use the unclean bird to bring meat and bread. God uses the natural environment, water daily, but the Lord keeps him there until the right time. So in southern Colorado, you had a period of time where there was a move, a prophetic move, where God did do something there. But at the same time, he had many, many of these ministries to expose and these individuals to expose. Excuse me. And then God lifts his spirit off of that work, off of that time, off of that, what he has allowed. He lifts the spirit off of it and he moves. He moves that spirit. God's work is always, always moving. He's moving in Judah, then he moves in Israel, then he'll move in Samaria, then he'll move in Egypt. He's always moving. There's a season. There's to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. What happened to when the Holy Spirit moved from southern Colorado? Did it just dissipate and end? Or did God relocate? Well, he did relocate. He relocated in northern Colorado, in specifically three counties, Weld, Larimer, Boulder. And when God, in southern Colorado, the move was very open. It was very out in the open, very understood, very, on display. But what he had been doing in northern Colorado is not as open. Why? Because God's children that are immature, especially prophetic people that are immature, when they hear of a move of God, the Azusa Street Revival, here they come like a vacuum, like a low pressure. Here they come and they descend upon it. And there have been these revivals in this country. And not all of them are 100% pure. Not always. It's like gold in the fields. You've got to clean out a lot of dirt to get to what's genuine. Azusa Street, God did something with it. There was something genuine there. You heard of the Toronto blessing and the Florida gathering and all these things. Well, there's very little gold, true, eternal work being done. But everybody gravitates to big events. I'm not going to get through with what I'm presenting. I'm going to have to continue. Before I continue anymore, remember, programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com. Again, today is July the 14th, 2026, Sunday. And again, this is the Olive Tree program. And one more time, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. This way you have a way. I can't give out a phone number. I don't have an office. I do this solo. I don't have email. I don't want to. I cannot respond. I have many friends that are involved in ministry, and they get hundreds of emails a day. And if they don't respond to the emails, then people basically say, oh, well, heck with him. I'm not even going to heck with that ministry. Well, I can't respond. I don't have a way to respond. I don't have the time. So this way, if you write and if you want to support me, I'm not going to lie. I do need support. I do need help with just basic things around the office, with the setting up the all of this digital, which I'm not aware of. I have to pay people. My family, they do help, but when we run into things, I do have, you know, web host, things like that. But anyhow, if you want to support me, I would appreciate it. This is not a get rich. I don't care about that. There's nothing I need. I don't need a car. I don't need any of these things. I have, my cars are over 200,000 miles each, right at 200,000 plus, and they work just fine. I don't need a new car. I don't want a new car. Just to give you an idea of, I have one car that's 500,000 miles, another car that's 230,000, another vehicle that's 2018. I get around just fine. I can take prayer drives. So, now, if I can remember where I was, let me consider just a second. God is moving. He is doing things. But the thing is, these people that are prophetic, because of their immaturity, if I were to say there is a move of God in a certain location, which there is in northern Colorado, but it's hidden. And one of the things that I stated years ago, 20 years ago plus, Satan would immediately send religion to northern Colorado and there would be hundreds of new churches spring up. These churches, the great percentage of them are not of God. They are of the will of man, the will of the flesh, the will of blood. They're not of the will of God. And I stated publicly in my time in Las Vegas, Nevada, on a little station there, KKVV, about 2006, that there would be a move in northern Colorado, and the first thing Satan would do would send religion. Religion would be the way in which Satan would try to contaminate what God was going to do quietly. And I drove through that area 10 years later. I couldn't believe all of the new assemblies everywhere. Brand new. On I-25, on up in Fort Collins, in Greeley, and around Boulder County. This is Satan's strategy, because he can bring all these different men with a different vision, a vision that is not contemporary according to what God is planning to do. And it would be in northern Colorado. It has occurred. Second thing, the children of the devil, the servants of the devil, it had to be hidden from them, because they also, when they find any type of spiritual activity, holy activity of God Himself, immediately they send coven members to start praying against it daily. It's what they do. And without any fellowship that doesn't have adequate intercession will fail. And many of these churches have never learned the principles of intercession. That was the second thing. Thirdly, God would hide it. And he would hide it to let it sit, to allow the individuals he's calling to prophetic, not positions, to prophetic work, to mature. The way you mature, you make a lot of mistakes. The way you mature is you end up in a lot of hardship. The way you mature is that you wait. Elijah waited. Elisha had to wait. Elisha was waiting. He had oxen. He was working the fields. He was taking care of his life, taking care of what he knew to do. Did he know that he had prophetic calling? I believe he did. How did he know? Because he watched Elisha. He knew of the other prophets. He knew of the prophets of Jezebel on the occult side. So he was aware of it. And what was it he asked Elijah about almost the day that Elijah was taken up? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Now I'm going to say something, and I want you who are prophetic, do not misunderstand what I'm saying. Do not, unless God gives you permission, you hold still. Right now, many of the prophetic people, you want to have a name, you want to have a platform, you want to self-establish, you want to be great, you want to be in your nature hasn't been dealt with. Till God deals with your nature, you'll never be a force prophetically. You have to wait for God to give you the permission. One day, the river dried up, and Elijah knew that he was going to have to be leaved. He would have to leave. He was going to move on. And at the same time, he knew where he was headed. But before he goes to Ahab, he had to be, once again, taken care of by a widow and her son. Not the son. The boy was just young. So he had to perform a miracle that God had showed him with the woman to bake a cake, something to feed me with, and you won't have to worry about food or oil during the time of hardship coming. This is the way it is with many of God's people that don't have much, but they give a little. And God takes care of them during the hard times. But with the big ministries, if you send $1,000, if you send whatever, God will bless you and bless you. No, there's no guarantee of that. But if you know someone that is truly ordained by the Holy Spirit and you assist them, then God will determine when your hard time comes what he will do. Not the ministry, not prop by promises. Okay, I have to wind down. Again, this is June the 14th, 2026, Sunday. ThisPresentTruth.com is the website. There are two sections, the Olive Tree site and the Present Truth site. My contact information is Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I'm going to continue on this vein. I didn't get to the verses I wanted to finish with. I also want to talk about Amos 3:3, Amos 3:7. But may the Lord Jesus, may the very God of the universe, may God himself, Jesus Christ, God Jesus bless you, and may he bless you and keep you and protect you. God bless you. I'll return.